Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. Good morning, church. Good to see you this morning. Everybody doing okay? Yeah? Having a good day? Yeah? Good. You look good. Thank you. I appreciate that. Somebody caught on. I appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Hey, if you're visiting with us this morning, welcome to Open Bible. And we're glad you're here. Glad you chose to worship with us on this Sunday morning. And I looked at the clock. We got a lot of time to spend together this morning. The worship team got out of the way quick, didn't they? Praise the Lord. They do a great job. We appreciate our worship team. They're a blessing to us. Let me welcome guests. We're glad you're here. As Brother Isaac said a moment ago, if you take one of those welcome cards, Connect cards, we'd appreciate that. Drop it at the welcome desk so we can have a record of your attendance. That's a blessing to us. We'd like to know who's here, right? And then if you're not here this morning, if you fill one out as well, that way I'll know who I'm not preaching to this morning. Praise the Lord. Hey, let me give you a quick update. Real soon now, where's Mr. Fenton at? Where's Bob? Real soon now, right, Bob? We're going to have some work being done outside. Is that right? Next week, no week and a half, 2 weeks. Say it right now, no week and a half, 2 weeks. I've been hearing week and a half, 2 weeks for a year and a half. Right? So, but, yeah, is right now it's just in the contractor's hands, right, Bob? And so he's just scheduling. I didn't hear a word you said, but I hope it was good. Waiting for the rain to stop. No more rain. It's always something, right? You know, can't work in the rain. Yeah. But so we're going to pave that whole parking lot, and it's going to look amazing when it's all finished. And hopefully over the next week and a half or so, it'll get finished. It should not interrupt services on the Lord's Day at all. And so we should be fine with that. But when it's all done, all new lighting, parking islands. You'll have a number for your slot. You got to pay for that, of course, because if not, you're way in the back. Yeah. You want the front slots. It's going to cost you. No names, just numbers, right? And I think Preacher Riddell already put in for 666, so he's ready to go. Nobody wants that number, but he's taking that one. Amen. I'm excited to get that done, aren't you? Can't wait for that to be finished, and it's going to be a great blessing to our ministry, I'm sure. Praise the Lord. And then let me mention OB seniors. I really do need you today. Take one of them Connect cards and let me know you're coming. All right, it's $10. You can bring your own putter. Brother Smith always brings his own putter, you know. But if you don't have one, they'll have one for you. We'll have lunch together. They provide us with the pavilion and ice cream, and then we'll get some lunch delivered in. So it'll be a fun time. Isaac's all excited about going, right? Amen. So Isaac's excited, and he's not even a senior, you know. We'll have a good time together, mini golf on Thursday. Did you bring your Bibles to church? Go ahead and join me in 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to continue our series on the family of God and take it to another level this morning. As we've been picking through this text of Scripture, we've kind of highlighted verse number 3. Look at verse 3, 2 Peter chapter number 1, verse 3. It says, "According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue." And that's a lot of words, right? What Peter's saying there, we kind of put it in a capsule, a summary statement. What Peter is saying there, if you look at the screen, is this: God has given us everything we need for life. You believe that? God has given us everything we need for life. That's spiritual life. That's our spiritual life. That's our life in Christ. And honestly, it's life in general. You know, the life you and I live each day out in our world, in our society, God's given us everything we need. God has equipped us for life. Say amen right there. Amen. God's equipped us for life. What I want to do this morning is this. I want to take it just a little further down the road and talk about highlight verses 8 through 10. But let's read for a little bit. Let's begin reading in verse 1. Let's just read down, and we'll get to verses 8, 9, and 10. And that's where we'll make our comments. Simon Peter's servant and an apostle Jesus Christ to them that have obtained like precious faith. I trust that's speaking about you. With us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, he writes to them, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Look at verse 3. Well, we already read verse 3. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so what he's saying there is this: God has provided for you and I all that we need to be all that he wants us to be, which honestly is to be more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Right? That's the goal. God's provided that for us. Verse 5, beside this, beside all that he's provided, now what you need to do is give all diligence and add to your faith. Supposing, assuming you have the faith, now you need to add to your faith what? Virtue, and to virtue, knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. Now look at verse 8. He says this, Peter's saying, if these things be in you and abound, they will make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what he's saying is this, if these things are in you, if you work diligently, use the equipment that God has given you, and then add to your faith in that list of items, he said this, you'll be fruitful. You will be fruitful. However, look at verse 9. But he that lacketh these things is what? He's what? He's blind and cannot see afar off and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Verse 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, ye shall never fall. Right? I want to highlight this morning in our message verses 8, 9, and 10 and really, really speak about that fruitful aspect where he says in verse number 8, if these things are in you, you're going to be fruitful. You're going to be. Why? Because God has equipped us to be fruitful. So how does he do that? Over the last couple of weeks, if you haven't been with us, here's where we've been. We're looking at the family of God. And we took a look at the, we call them the foundational members of God's family. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, right? Remember that series, those messages? And then we said this, in God's family, just like in your family, God equips us as his children. How does he do that? Well, we said this, God uses gifted men. You remember that? In Ephesians chapter number 4, God uses these men, foundational gifts to the church, gifted men, to help you and I grow and become what he wants us to be. Let me pause and say this. I mentioned this on Wednesday evening. That does not mean that God doesn't gift women. Because he does. God gives all of us spiritual gifts. However, foundationally speaking, he has given these gifted men to the church so that these men will help us, according to Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12, helps us to grow and become what he wants us to be. So he gives us gifted men, and then he gives us spiritual disciplines. He gave us the Word of God, the throne of God, and the people of God, and all together helps us to become what he wants us to become, right? And so we found out how he gifts us, but what does he gift us for, right? I'm sorry, what does he gift us with? And last week we took a bit of time and talked about grace, mercy, and wisdom, right? God gifts us, he gives us, he equips us with, and there's so many things we can speak about. We talked a little bit about the spiritual gifts that he gives us. But the foundational qualities that God gives us can be found under these categories, grace, mercy, and wisdom. And if you didn't hear last week's message, and I'm not big on promoting my own messages, but if you didn't hear last week's message, I encourage you as a child of God to go on our website and listen to it. Or I can have one of our staff members come by your house and preach it to you again. But no, I think you ought to go back and listen to what we had to say about God giving us, equipping us with grace and mercy and wisdom, because they are needed qualities in our lives today. Don't you agree? So, God equips us for life. Now, pay attention to this. God equips us for life. How He does that is by giving to us gifted men, right? You have a pastor who is a teacher, and my job is to teach you the Word of God so that you might mature. You know, the Bible talks about becoming perfect, mature, so that you might do the work of the ministry. And what is the work of the ministry? In verse 12, Ephesians 4, verse 12, it talks about what? The edification of the body of Christ. So it's for you and I now to begin edifying one another, encouraging one another, lifting each other up, never tearing each other down. Amen. Right? And He gives us, you know, the Bible. He gives us access to the throne. He gave us a community of believers called the church. Right? And so God gifts us, you know, or equips us through these individuals and through these virtues. And then He gives us grace, mercy, and truth. My question today is this. For what? What does He gift us for? Why are we gifted? And if you listen to that text of Scripture, Peter's remarks, basically, I want to sum it up by saying this. God equips us to bear fruit. God desires you and I, He wants us as His children to be fruitful. I showed you that, right? Look at verse 8 again. I want you to see this. Verse 8, if these things be in you and what? Abound, if they're visible, right? If you're feeding these things, what things? Well, the faith and the virtue and the knowledge and the patience and the temperance and brotherly kindness and charity, godliness. If these things are in you, you're not paying attention to me. If these things are in you, you're going to be fruitful. God equips us to be fruitful. Listen to this. The lack of fruit is a me problem. I'm going to say that again. I'm going to say it two more times. The lack of fruit is a me problem. Say it with me now. The lack of fruit is a you problem. It's a me problem, right? So, verse number 9, if these things are lacking in your life, what things? Well, if you're not being fruitful, if you're not abounding, if you can't see, by the way, you could add in Galatians chapter number 5 with the fruit of the Spirit, right? If these things are not in you, well, then it's a me problem. I got the problem. Why? Because God has equipped us so that these items might be in us, so that we might bear fruit. Peter suggests this. He says this, if you're lacking these things, you're blind. And you have forgotten that you've been saved. Did you see the text? Huh? I'm not making it up. So, if you're not being fruitful, if these things are not in you, right, it's a me problem. I'm blind, and I've forgotten that I've been saved. Rather, he says, we should give diligence to grow in our Christian life. Isn't that what he said, verse number 10? All right, and so we ought to give diligence. We ought to work at it. It doesn't come natural. I've said this often. There's nothing mystical about the Christian life. It's practical. We got to practice it. We got to put it into action. We got to practice our faith. Amen. And so in essence, what he's saying is this, we're equipped for growth and fruitfulness. That's what Peter's saying. He's given us everything that we need for life. He has equipped us so that we might be fruitful, so that we might grow in our Christian lives and be fruitful. In other words, he's saying this, our Christianity should be seen. People should be able to see, you know, what God is doing in our lives. People should be able to see what God has done in our lives. That's our testimony, right? And that's what it means to be fruitful. It's the work of God in a believer's life. Are you with me? Wave at me. You with me? And so our testimony is the work of God in my life. What God has done for me, right? And I don't know, I can't, you know, I don't know you that well. I've not been around that long. I know my cousin Ed, right? I remember him when he was born, because I'm a little bit older than him. My daughter Nicole, my granddaughter Sophia, my son-in-law Jason, I've known these people for a long time. So I think I met Jason sixth grade, fifth grade, fourth grade. Eighth grade. I knew him in sixth grade. He didn't know me. No, I'm just teasing. I used to spy on him. I used to follow him around the neighborhood. What I'm trying to say is this. I know these people long enough that I can say I've seen what God has done in their lives. But I know some of you, and I can say this, the last 3 years, I can see what God is doing in your life. Why? That's testimony. Right there, I can look at Nathan and Isaac. I work with these guys several times a week. They're on staff here. I've seen growth in Nathan's life in the last 3 years, growth in Isaac's life. I see them often. I spend a lot of time with them. I see what God is doing. I really don't know what God has done because I don't know their past, but I can see what God is doing in their lives today. And you know what that is? It's testimony. That's their testimony. Have you ever been to Missouri? How many have been to Missouri? If you've ever been to Missouri, you know they have a slogan. Their state slogan is, look at it, it's the what? It's the show me state. I have no idea why that is. I've been to Missouri many times, preached there. I used to preach there yearly, been there many times. And it struck me when I first was driving down the highway and big signs, you know. And by the way, if you've ever been to Missouri, they don't call it Missouri. They call it Missouri. It's Missouri. Missouri. I don't know how they got Missouri out of that, but it's Missouri to me. And then you'll see these signs, show me state, the show me state. And I thought about that when I was doing this study. I promise you, I thought about it when I was doing this study, Donald, just the other day, because our Christianity, it's a show me faith. Christianity is a show me faith. It's not a verbal thing. It's a show me thing. Right? People ought to see the work that God has done for us and the work God is doing for us today. God ought to be seen in our lives. And that's being fruitful. That's being fruitful. And so what I want to do this morning is this. I want to talk just for a few minutes about what God has equipped us for. What God has equipped us for. And I want to try to make this extremely practical. Okay? Are you with me? Let me share a couple of thoughts with you. I want you to notice first that God has equipped us to know Him. To know Him. Say that with me. To know Him. God has equipped me to know Him. You got your Bibles with you? I want you to notice what Paul said about this. Look in Philippians chapter 3. With me, and just at a couple of verses. Look at chapter 3, verse 7. The Apostle Paul speaking in this text of Scripture to a church in Philippi. Look what he said, verse 7. He said, but what things were gained to me, those things, what? I counted loss. Look up here for a second. If you were to go back and read the beginning of the text, Paul begins to speak about his heritage. Paul begins to speak about the things that he was able to accomplish. You know, talks about being, you know, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. You know, we might say this, I'm not just born again, but man, I'm a fundamental Christian. You know, I take the Bible literally and I try to live it out. That's what Paul's saying. So he's speaking about his heritage here, you know, but then he says this, he says, but the things that once were important to me, the things that I used to kind of hang my hat on, the things I used to write on my resume, the things that I thought were really big deal, I've counted as loss. Counted as loss. Go back to that text with me. Yea, doubtless, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord,
for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. So he takes all of his past accomplishments and all that was important to him and he puts it in the dung pile. I've counted all as loss. Look at verse number 9. And here's the thing, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. Right? The things that I think are important, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith. Now, verse 10. That I may... What? That I may know him. That I may know him. And, look what he says, and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death, that I may know him. I want to experience him at a higher level, in a deeper way, not just to be acquainted with Christ, is what he's saying, right? I heard of him. I've heard of what he's done, but I want to know him personally and have a growing experience with him. That's what Paul said. Right? And by the way, before we give Paul all the accolades of being maybe the greatest Christian that ever lived outside of, you know, Jesus on earth, before we talk about all that he's done, the churches he started, the missionary trips, before all that, Paul was a persecutor of the church. Paul said this, I was the chief of sinners. Some of us may say, boy, Pastor, if you only knew me in the past, you probably had a testimony like most. Without Christ, we're all lost. Period. Right? And you can fill in all the blanks. Right? So some would say, yeah, well, Paul is able to say that because he's Paul. Yeah, but before he was Paul, he was Saul. Just a sinner who got saved by grace. Pay attention. And took it serious. He took it serious and made a difference in his world. Don't you agree? Made an impact in his world. I want to know him. I mean, really know him is what he said. So let's make this practical. Let's make this practical. Who would you say you really know? Don't call after a name. But get that person. Many of us, if we're married, who do you say my wife and I have been married for a couple of years? I would say this, Tony, if you would ask me, so who would you write down as somebody you really, 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 really know? I'd say my wife, Donna. I know pretty much everything she lets me know. We started dating. We were 17 years old. 17. Think about that, man. We're going on 49. We've been at it for a long time. Right? And so we're 64 years old. So that's a long time. Right? And I would say this, I really know her. Get in your mind right now, somebody that you would say, I really know him. Maybe a parent. Sometimes we don't know our parents as much as we would want to. But get that person in your mind. And then let me ask you this question. How did you get so close to them? How did you get to know them that well? And I would say this, let me just fill in the blank here. I would say most of us, we spend time with them. We spend time. Now that we're empty nesters, Don and I, all we got is each other. Right? And there's some times when, you know, on a given day, we'll have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together. And nobody's there to intercede. Nobody's there to have conversation. It's just us. And you know what? After all these years, I can't believe it. But we're not at a loss for conversation. And we're always yapping and talking after all these years. You know? And that's not that we discover new things about each other, but we spend a lot of time together. That's how I got to know her so well. I listened to her. You don't believe that. She listens to me. I do listen to her sometimes. We have meaningful conversation. And I can go on and on with that. Right? So think about that person that you would say, I really know them. Well, how did you get to know them that well? You spent time with them. You listened to them. You've had meaning, you've shared with them. Right? That's how you got to know. All right, so here's the question. God has equipped us to know Him. How well do we know Him? The Apostle Paul said, I'm counting everything as loss. I'm putting it in a dunghill just so that I might know Him. And the power of I want to fellowship with His sufferings. I want to know Him, really know Him. How well do you know Him? You know, at salvation, the Holy Spirit of God is been given us to come inside of us and dwell inside of us. And you know one of His primary functions? Listen to this. One of His primary functions is to guide us into a meaningful, close, intimate relationship with God. Did you hear that? Let me say it again. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God took up residence inside your life. You know that, right? He's inside of you. Talked about that just a couple weeks ago. Gave you proof of that. Jesus said, I'm going to go away, but I'm going to send you another comforter. He said, I'm going to send you the third person of the Godhead. He's going to take up residence inside of you. And part of His ministry is to guide you into a meaningful, intimate, close relationship with God. Come on, class. Why do we come to church? This is a workshop. How close are we to God? How well do I know Him? Years ago, I read this statement, and it's one of those things that just you never forget it. Here was the statement. We determine closeness. In other words, I'm as close to God today as I choose to be. I'll be honest with you. There are some days I'm closer than others. How about you? There are some days when I don't know why, but I just kind of like I'm in a brain fog, you know, and I struggle with prayer. I just struggle, you know, I don't think I crossed the line and live immorally or anything. I just struggle with it. How about you? Ever been there? But then there's those days where, man, I tell you what, I'm talking to God as if He's sitting right next to me or I'm sitting right on His lap and we're just having fellowship like, woohoo. Huh? How close are we today? Look here. I could have said this. What does God equip us for? And I could have given you a list of things. Well, He's equipped us to serve and He's equipped us to... But let's get down to the nitty-gritty. Before all of that, God wants you and I to know Him in a personal, close, intimate, meaningful way. And He's equipped us for that. He's given us the Holy Spirit. But I have to understand, you know, I'm as close as I choose to be. I choose closeness. Right? Are you with me? Just like I do with my wife or family. We choose closeness. I'm equipped for that. Let me move on. He's not only equipped us to know Him, He's equipped us to know ourselves. Don't get lost now. Stay with me. He's equipped us to know ourselves. Somebody say, uh-oh. Uh-oh. I think in our text of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter seems to be, did you pick this up with me? He seems to be placing responsibility upon ourselves. Right? Look what he says. Go back to the text in 2 Peter chapter number 1. And look what he says there about adding to your faith. Right? Look at verse 5. Beside this, give all diligence, add to your faith. You know what that is? That's personal responsibility. Right? Huh? So, Pastor, I got saved, last year, been coming to Open Bible for now a year. But I don't think, Pastor, I've grown as much as I should. What's wrong with the church? No. Don't go there. You know how many times through the years, I've been doing this for a bit, you know how many times through the years, somebody will check out, you know, and I'll say, well, I haven't seen old so-and-so for a while, and make a phone call, send a note, make a visit, finally get in touch with that individual, and I'll say, so, hey, man, I haven't seen you over at Open Bible for a while. What's going on? You know, Pastor, I'm just not growing there. I'm just not growing there. And they kind of intimate, now pay attention right here, they kind of intimate it's the church's fault. Huh? Well, I'm not growing. It's the church. Basically, what you're saying, it's my fault because it's my responsibility to feed you. Huh? And so my next question is this. So where are you going to church? Well, you know, Pastor, I just decided that I'm just going to stay home and, oh, okay. I get it now. Huh? Look here. The Bible says it's our personal responsibility to grow. Huh? So, Pastor, I'm not getting fed over that open Bible. That's because you're not coming to eat. You're not coming to eat. Huh? You say, I don't know. But if you're not growing, it's because you're not eating. Because the Word is being presented. The table's set. Just think about it today. At 9:30, if you'd have came at 9:30 and brought your little ones, they could have been in a Sunday school class being taught the Word of God. Their level. If you brought your teenager, they could be over with the teenagers being taught the Word of God at their level. If you're an adult, you could have plugged into one of our Connect classes, 6, 7, 8, I don't know. We've got tons of them over there. And all of them are teaching the Word of God at your level. I mean, the table's set. The food is upon the table. All you got to do is begin to eat. And then I know this about me. I may not be the best preacher, the greatest preacher. Certainly not the longest preacher, because I do respect your time. But I give you food. And I connect the dots. And if you listen to it and apply it, you can grow thereby. Yeah, you just listened to this message. You didn't need the last 6 or 7 messages in this series. You listen to what I'm saying today. You can grow thereby. But you know why we don't? We don't take personal responsibility for growth. But that's where the Bible places it. It's in your lap. It's in your hands. So I'm doing pretty good. I'm getting by. I'm in church. What else do you want? Hey, I'm glad you're here, man. Praise the Lord. I'd rather you be here than anywhere. But I'm trying to get you ready for heaven. This is preparation for heaven. When you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ, who will bear in his body the marks of our salvation. I don't want to be embarrassed then. Did you ever read in 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, where there are folks that will be ashamed at his appearing? It says it in the book, Nathan. It's in the Bible. There'll be some ashamed of his appearing. Why? Because we're not living the way we should live. We're not taking personal responsibility. Peter says, be diligent. If these things are in you, you'll be faithful. But if they're not, you're blind, man. You're blind. And you've forgotten that you've been saved and what you've been saved for. What you've been saved from. Amen? Hey, look here. I'm not chiding you. I'm just teaching in a very passionate way. Yeah. Did you ever see how the Bible is described with the different symbols? For example, when you read the Bible, it says this about itself. Sometimes the Bible is described as bread. It's the bread of life. And then sometimes it's water. It's the washing of the water of the Word. Right? Old Testament. It's a fire. It's like a fire. Refiner's fire. Now I can go on with that. One of the symbols is a mirror. A mirror. A mirror. I got my South Philly talk on. It's a mirror. Huh? Yeah. And you know what you do with a mirror? You look into a mirror and you get, if you got a good mirror, a true reflection. I like the ones that make you look younger, thinner, taller. I love those mirrors. Did you ever go to a gym and you walk by and you say, boy, I really look that good? Then you go in a locker room and everything's just hanging out. Huh? You put them fake mirrors. The Bible is a true mirror and it gives you a true reflection as you look in. Yeah. James chapter 1. Listen to what the Bible says. I'll read it real quick. Throw a verse up for you. James chapter 1, verse 22. Be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, churches are filled with these people. This room has got some people right here today. You're a hearer, but you're not a doer. You're not a doer. You see, if you were a doer, you'd take this message with you today and say, now, Lord, what do you want me to do with that message Pastor just preached? Because he preached it for me, right? If any man, he says, verse 23, if any be a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is likened to a man. Listen, he is likened to a man beholding his natural face in a glass. In other words, if somebody looks into a mirror and gets a true reflection, let's say you look into the mirror, you know, and your hair is all messed up. You've been out in the way, your hair is all messed up. You look in and you just don't even kind of, or you got a little smudge of something. You're eating a big chocolate donut. Huh? And you got some chocolate over here and you don't look in the mirror. And look at the text. He says, he looks into holding not, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. In other words, he looks in, he sees some kind of a flaw, but he does nothing about it. Here's what he said, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. In other words, what he's saying is this. When we look into the Word of God, we get a true reflection. It looks into us. Did you get that? When you look into the Bible, Will, I can see you back there. When you look into the Bible looks into us. And it'll show you what's in there. Boy, I got a few minutes. Did you ever look into the Bible and all of a sudden something is pointed out that you thought you got rid of? Huh? And all of a sudden, man, you begin to realize that there's some unconfessed something in there and there's some bitterness in there and there's some hurt you're holding on to. You know, there's some jealousy and there's some envy. There's some anger. I remember preaching a message one time years ago called Follow Me, Follow Him. When we follow Him, He leads us to certain places, obvious places and difficult places. You know the most difficult place the Lord will lead you when you follow Him? It's into your own heart. He'll lead you right into your own heart. And you're able to then see what's there that shouldn't be there, or what's lacking that should be there. Look here, man, we're talking, this is meat and potatoes. Huh? This is the real stuff. God equips us for what? He equips me so that I can know Him and so that I can know me. Can I tell you the goal of that? The goal of that is 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18. Flip that verse, guys. 2 Peter, look at it. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. In other words, when we look into the Bible, you know what we see? We see the glory of the Lord. We see the image of God. We see the image of Jesus. And we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. So here's the goal. When you and I, when we read the Bible reads us. And we're able to see an image. We see Jesus. And over time, and through the Spirit of God's help, we become the image of what we see. We become more and more like Jesus. And that's the goal. To be more and more like Him. Are you with me? That's the whole goal. We're equipped to become Christ-like. And years ago, I remember probably the same book that I was reading. Closeness breeds likeness. I'm as close to Him today as I choose to be. And you can't be, pay attention, you can't be like Christ unless you know what Christ was like. How do you find that out? In the book. In the book. And God has equipped us with the Scriptures. So that we can know Him and know ourselves. You with me? Am I helping you? But let me give you one final thought. So He's given us the Holy Spirit to know Him. He's given us the Scriptures to know ourselves. But He's also equipped us so that others might know Him. Right? He's equipped us so that others might know Him. When asked this question, here's the answer. Here's the question. What is the whole purpose of man? Right? Did you ever been asked this? So what's your worldview? How many of you know that terminology? What's your worldview? And part of that is your purpose. What's your purpose? What's the whole purpose of man? Biblically speaking, here it is. You ready? Here's the big answer. To reflect his image. To reflect his image. Did you ever read the book of Genesis? Book of Genesis, chapter 1, God's creating everything, right? He's creating. And he says this. Listen to it. Here's the Bible. Let us make man in what? Our image. In our likeness. In other words, God's saying we need to have a part of creation that reflects us. I mean, there was the animal kingdom, right? There was the fish of the sea, the birds of the air. There was the creeping things. I thought maybe we fit into that category, the creeping things. But God said, no, we need to make man in our image so that there's something on earth that reflects our image. Man becomes an image bearer. Did you get that? And there's a sequence about the Christian life. And here it is. Here's the sequence. Listen, we know, we grow, we show. You get to know him at salvation. You accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And you begin the process of getting to know him. He becomes then your Father. Your Heavenly Father. God's my Father. Right? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. Been adopted into his family. Right? I get to know him. And I grow. Now I begin to grow into the image of Jesus. And the end result is I show. Remember I said Christianity is a show me faith? I begin to show just through testimony what the Lord has done for me. What the Lord is doing in me.
Yes. Yes.
Huh? Yeah. God's equipped us so that others might get to know him. I said this, now pay attention, I'm bringing this to a close. And this is important. He equips us with the Holy Spirit at salvation to know him. He equips us with the Bible so that we may know ourselves. And he equips us with the gospel so that others might have the privilege of getting to know him. The gospel. We can take the gospel in and out of our community. And that's how we answer the question. So, man, what's happened to you? I'll guarantee you this. It's been a long, long time since I've seen any people that I've grown up with. Got a phone call the other day. I say the other day, it was a couple weeks back. You know, the older you get, the other day, a couple months ago. Got a phone call from a fellow who's a friend. And I said, hey, man. He said, I was on the job, knocked at a door. Fellow opened up the door, got into conversation with him, asked him if he was saved, told me he was saved, brought up your name, and he knows you from grade school. Grade school. Yeah. And he said, here's his name. I said, I remember him. He said, he remembers you. He said, when I told him that you're a preacher, he said, I heard that. You got to be kidding me. Hello? Why? Because when I was growing up, I was an altar boy, but there was nothing holy about me. How about you? Did you ever seen that? Did you ever hear that statement when he reached down? He had to reach way down. Yeah. Yeah. And so when people see me now from my past, right? They can't believe. I remember when I first got called to preach, some of my friends would say, man, we're going to see him on TV one day. He's going to be like, you know, Jimmy Swagger. That's back in the day. Huh? Right? People ought to see a difference in your lives. Huh? And when they ask, we ought to be ready with an answer. 1 Peter chapter 3. Look at the screen. Verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you, what in the world happened to you? That's what Peter was saying. Huh? When was the last time somebody said, man alive, I heard you got religion. What happened to you? You're ready to give an answer. based upon what? All that God has done for you and is doing in your life. Amen. Right? Why? I'll tell you why. Because Christianity is a show me faith. Yeah. Testimony, and I'm finished. Thursday, I was in the office, left the office, and went down, grabbed a cup of coffee at Wawa, pulled my truck up, sat there for a moment, right in the front of the store there, sat there for a moment, looked up and saw a fellow sitting there in a wheelchair. I'm not being judgmental, but I can tell he's probably homeless. He looked homeless. Not trying to judge a book by its cover, but... And I just sat there and looked at him for a bit in my truck, just looking out my window, and people just walking by, just walking by, just walking by. Like he was invisible. Like he wasn't even there. We would say he's one of the marginalized people in our society. Marginalized, just invisible. And I got out of my truck and made it a point to walk by, and he was sitting in his wheelchair and cigarette in his hand. Cell phone. Got a cell phone. And he was listening to music on it. So it wasn't a dead one he picked up in the trash can. It was alive. And not only listening to the music, but this boy was having himself a time. I mean, he'd be bopping and singing. So how you doing? He looked at me and said, pretty good. I said, could I get you something? And here's what he said. He said, yeah, a pair of sneakers. I said, a pair of sneakers? I wanted to say, do they sell them in Wawa now? I mean, Wawa sells everything else. You can get me a pair of Nikes. I said, a pair. I giggled. I said, a pair of sneakers. I said, I went like, where are we going to get a pair of sneakers? He said, that's what I need. He said, you never ask a person what they need unless you're ready to. I said, okay. I said, well, I don't happen to have a pair of sneakers with me, but I'm a pastor of a church. And what church? I said, church right down the street. He said, you know Pastor Olson? I said, Frank Olson? He said, yeah. Bethany, he said, Bethany Baptist Church? I said, yeah. He said, I used to go to that church. Think about this for a second. I could have been judging him by his look, but here's a fella who's sharp. Huh? I don't know what his situation in life is. Huh? Do you know Frank? Yeah. I said, you know he's in heaven. Oh, yeah, I know he passed away some time ago. He used to go to his church. And then now he's starting to talk all this kind of stuff. I said, well, listen, his name is Phil. I said, Phil, honestly, I don't have sneakers with me. But I pastor a church, and maybe I can get... I said, what size you wear? He said, 11. I said, well, I got sneakers at home, but they're not size 11. I'm wearing 9. I said, you know, perfect size is 9. You got big, fat feet. I don't know what to tell you. No, I didn't say that to him. I didn't say that to him. I said, maybe, where do I find... He said, I'm always here or at the U.S. Gas. I said, all right, let me see what I can come up with. I gave him gospel tract, invitation to church. I said, we're right down the street. He said, you might see me one day. I said, I'd love to see you. You know, went in, came out. He's still smoking a cigarette, still singing to his song. I said, Phil, I'll see what I can do for you. So if any of you has size 11s and you want to be a blessing, go look for Phil at Wawa or the U.S. Gas. He'll be there. Keep him in your car and just give them to him. Say, hey, God told me to give these to you. Right? Amen? Are you with me? And I bring that up to say this. You'd be surprised how many times God places us in a situation to just show people. Just show people how good He is, what He's done for you. He's equipped us for that. Huh? And as I'm standing there, Bob, as I'm standing there talking to this fellow Phil, people walking by looking at me like, what are you doing, dude? You know? And I could have cared less because I was in conversation with Phil. And Phil was engaging. Later on that day, I forgot. When I was down at Wawa, I got so excited about the coffee, I forgot how to get gas. And so, I go back down the road. I go to U.S. Gas instead of Wawa because it's always 10 cents a gallon. Cheaper. That's an extra coffee I get. So I pull into U.S. Gas. Jason, guess who's sitting at U.S. Gas with his phone and his cigarette? Phil! My man! So I hid behind him. I know what he's going to say to him. Hey, where's my sneakers at, preacher? I said, I didn't get home yet. My wife wears at 11. Give me time to get home. Isn't God good? Man, I tell you, when you live for God and you put yourself in His arena, it's amazing. It's just amazing where He places you. It's like Moses, just, you know, he sees the bush burning, and you know what Moses says? I think I'm going to go check that out. And it's amazing, every once in a while there's burning bushes all over the place. Just pick up your eyes and look, and you have a God experience. We've been equipped for that. We've been equipped for that. James reminds this, God wants us to be mature and equipped for life. And so it's a total package, right? Did you say it? Total package. We're equipped by the Holy Spirit, the Bible, and the gospel to know Him, know ourselves, and so that others might come to know Him. That's what happens when you're a member of the family of God. You have access to God, and He equips you for life, spiritual life, and life in general. The Bible says this, I'm finished, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches. Right? That's the name of Christ. We get to bear His name. We've been equipped. Everything we need to be fruitful, God has equipped us. Amen, church? Amen. Look at there. Good timing, right? You feel good? Yes. So let me ask you a question. Look up here for a second. I'm finished. Has there been a time in your life where you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? Think about that for a second. I promise you we're going to get out here in just a moment. But think about that. That's important. Has there been a time in your life where you've invited Jesus Christ in to be your Savior? If you have, then you're a member of God's family. We're adopted into His family. We're a member of God. And that means this. I know that when I pass, whenever that may be, I'm going to go to heaven. Not because I deserve it, because I don't. I'm going to go to heaven because Jesus died on the cross, shed His blood, to pay for my sin, your sin, our sin, the sin of the world, so that we might gain access to heaven. I was 19 and a half years old. I asked Jesus Christ to be my personal Savior. I told you a little bit ago how old I am. All those years, I've been saved. If I die, anytime, walk out right now and die on the sidewalk, I'm going to heaven because I'm saved. I know that for a fact. Do you? Are you a member of God's family? Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And as members of God's family, are you enjoying all the benefits and blessings? Could you say today that I'm getting to know Him better and I'm getting closer to Him all the time? Or maybe, you know, Pastor, I got a little sidetracked, a little distracted, and I just need to get back at it. I'm so glad we have a God who says, come on, I want you back. I want you back. Come on, get back. In just a little bit, we're going to pray. Worship team's going to come and sing. You're going to see people just maneuvering around the auditorium. Some folks just like to come forward, and they come around here, and they kneel down, and they pray. They pray for themselves, or sometimes they'll come and ask somebody to pray with them because they're going through some things in life. That's what this is all about. I want you to understand this. Other folk will come down and say, Pastor, you know what? I'm not sure I'm saved. I need to get saved. And they get saved right here today. Isn't that wonderful? But then there's others who will just, right where they are, just pray, now, Lord, help me to do something with what I just heard. So do I need to come all the way down? No, you don't. You don't need to come down here. But you definitely need to do something about what you just heard. Don't you agree? And so as we bow for prayer, as this worship team comes and sings, would you just spend a moment or two before you walk out that back door and ask God to help you to put to practice the message you just heard today and grow in your Christian life. Get to know Him. Get to know yourself. And by all means, show your testimony so that others in this world might get to know Him as well. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. We thank You for the way You work here at Open Bible. Thank You for the confidence we have
and hearing from above. We understand you love us and care for us. Jesus, we know you died on that cross to take our place, and we thank you for salvation. And now, because we're members of your family, we have this equipment that we need for life. Help us, God, today to do with it as we should. I pray if there's someone here who doesn't know Christ as Savior, that maybe today will be the day they get that settled. And for others, members of the family, whatever it is, however it is you're dealing in our lives, help us today to respond and to respond properly. We ask in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's stand together.